I don't want to brag. Who, me?
Was that the same person that said that? Was that really the same person? All right, welcome to the Waggle. Hope you had an outstanding Canada Day and hope you enjoyed some outstanding football games, some great finishes. And we're excited for week five. Hopefully we get some outstanding finishes. Once again, we're going to look back at those games in week four from across the CFL. Producer Nick Enoch is going to quiz us on some CFL 2024 season trivia, which I'm not sure how we have trivia already. The season is barely started.
It's barely begun, but hey, look, I'm here for it.
Well, I think they just are trying to embarrass us, but we'll see. The question is, are you embarrassed with your record in the CFL pick and presented by Old Dutch as... I've extended my lead. It might be unsurmountable at this point.
The answer is no, I'm not embarrassed. And secondly, you just finished saying it is just the beginning. So
that's how big the lead is.
It's just the beginning.
Who do you feel like?
81 games this
whole season. Chris Jones today or Scott Milanovic?
Oh, man.
Which one?
Don't do that.
We'll talk about how they're feeling after another tough week for both teams who have played good football but haven't finished well. We'll get into that. And, of course, we've got to talk about Canada Day long weekend. What did you do for your Canada Day weekend? Were you working, were you not?
Actually, well, for some of it, I was working. But Canada Day itself, spent a lot of time with the family and was able to, play with the kids, run around, went to a big park and watched the fireworks, even though our youngest didn't make it till then. But the oldest two really, really, really enjoyed it. Ice cream, funnel cakes, running around, you name it. It was all there.
Awesome. I was out east, spent some time in Kingston and Gananoque with some family. Mm. But mainly I was watching various types of football. CFL football, obviously. The world's football, not Canadian football.
Copa?
Soccer, if you will. Copa and Euro, some outstanding finishes, some good results. I want to shout out our Canadian men's national team.
Canada.
Who have survived and advanced, which is the goal. I want to shout out our women's national team. The roster has been set for the Olympics.
Uh-oh.
And I also want to shout out our junior Canadian football team who won gold.
Doing work.
On home soil here in Edmonton. I will say, though, some people online have been like, oh, man, you know what? America needs to take some notes on how to play football from us. Like, let's slow down. There's various types of game. We won this tournament playing American rules football on a CFL field, but I don't think the United States has an issue developing football players. The NFL and our great league is a great example of it. Sometimes for these international tournaments, let's just say not everyone brings their best, but I want to shout out our best. We had two teams, so our talent was somewhat watered down. Team Canada A and Team Canada B, and no matter what, we took the gold. You didn't play Team Canada growing up, did you?
I did not. I did not get the opportunity to do so.
So you're a late bloomer.
Late bloomer. Got into it really late, and I just heard a bunch of stories, met a bunch of people who played for Team Canada, told me how great of an experience it was. So, I wish I did, but listen, it's amazing to see these young kids and young men go on a national platform like that and be able to compete, right? And like you mentioned, it's not about looking about at the U.S. and talking smack or whatever. The truth of the matter, though, is that you continue to see how Canada is progressing with regards to football and continuing to develop more and more talent.
No question. Shout out to Japan, who had an outstanding team. Shout out to Austria, mm-hmm. who had a standing team. It is becoming a global game. And shout out to head coach Warren Craney for going and getting the job done. Shout out to all the players in CFL. This is an outstanding week of games, especially the kickers.
Ooh.
Pressure kicks. Three games decided by walk-off field goals. But I think to me the headline, though, is Winnipeg drops to own 4 for the first time since 2012. Some quick takeaways given their scenario is it's reported Lucky Whitehead is coming in to Winnipeg, coming back after obviously being a player there to start his career, then being a big time player in BC. That's because Dalton Schoen, it seems, is possibly out for the season. We're going to get to some of the other games, but I don't know if there's another record from all of the teams in the CFL that I'm more surprised about than Winnipeg being 1-4.
No, I mean, it's hard to, man. Like, if you're a fan of the game, right, the truth is there's cycles. And it's hard for everybody to believe that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are going through the downturn of their cycle. Because for as long as a lot of us can remember, this has been a great organization. This has been the standard. This has been the team to beat. I mean, talk about losing the last 2 Grey Cups. It's all good and dandy. Getting there is hard enough, right? And so they've always been the team that when you look at your schedule for the first time at the beginning of the season or in the offseason when the schedule does come out, you look at the Winnipeg Blue Bombers as a game that you have to take everything in and you got to give it your all. Regardless of what has happened in the last 2 seasons, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers has been that team. And for whatever reason, now it is not looking so good. And the truth is, DB, I was trying to explain to some of the guys, even on the panel, that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers of the last 4, 5, 6 years, however long you want to talk about the dominance that they've had, they've probably won some games before even stepping onto the field because of the reputation that they've had, because of the identity that they've developed. And so I'm not just talking about players, and a lot of players are like, nah, I've never been scared of anybody. That's fine. But I'm even talking about some coaches from the standpoint of some coaches try to do a little bit too much and change the basics of what they've done with regards to their game plans and their theories and their strategies. And because we're playing the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, we have to change things up and we have to do this thing different and we have to do that differently. And that a lot of times has affected some of the teams that have played the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But now it seems like that identity is not going to have that same effect on every team that they'll be playing. Right now, if anything, DB, if I'm a team, I want to play the Winnipeg Blue Bombers before they figure it out, if indeed they end up figuring it out.
Well, I think when you look at the sustained success and you have to take in consideration, there's a lost season in there. Mm. What Kyle Walters was able to do was keep that team together.
Yep.
Those guys sacrificed, took less, figured it out, met up with the agents because they wanted to stay together and continue to run it back. But slowly, over time, you'd have a drip, drip, drip of players either leaving because there were greener pastures financially elsewhere or being asked to leave because the number on the birth certificate didn't match the number in terms of what you had to pay a veteran in this league. Well, you lose that leadership, you lose that talent, you start to eventually lose games. Mm. We saw this with Calgary, who was the dynasty before. You can only keep it together
for so long.
I think the drain in Calgary, as much as it was players over time, them saying, well, you can leave in free agency, we'll just replace you. I think in Calgary, it was a drain of coaching talent. I think in Winnipeg, we're starting to see the drain of those leaders in that locker room. And then, let's be honest, they made 2 choices on people they prioritized to bring back. Brito Oliveira, Dalton Schoen. Both have already been hurt. So you've made calculated decisions, and we can add Kenny Lawler to that equation as well. Calculated decisions on people we're going to invest in, that we can't lose these pieces. We can lose some others. And just law of averages, they go down early in the season. So you're really hit twofold in terms of the depth that you have. So it'll be interesting. As we preview, you know, their game this week, we'll talk about their situation a little bit more, but they're a fascinating watch right now.
They definitely are. And the last thing I'll add about with this situation, DB, is, and I was having a conversation with a former teammate of mine who also was a former Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Do you know where the Grey Cup is next year?
Is it not in Winnipeg?
It is in Winnipeg. So they find themselves in a very peculiar predicament right now. As you know, no team wants to be put in a place or a situation where they have to rebuild. And so it'll be interesting how the rest of the season goes with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Not only that, but the pressure that will be on that organization this offseason as they get set to host the Grey Cup, because those fans, and as great as they are, they will want their team to be representing the West in the Grey Cup in Winnipeg.
It does get late early in terms of, if you have such a slow start to get to your goals, it's a long season, becomes that much more difficult. We'll get into that a bit later, but it's great early for two other teams. Montreal and Saskatchewan, both undefeated. I didn't have that necessarily on my bingo card, but in your estimation, who has a better chance to keep this streak going and stay undefeated for an extended period of time?
At this very moment, it's not difficult to predict or at least assume that it'll likely be the Montreal Alouettes. I mean, you look at the Saskatchewan Roughriders, not that they haven't done a great job. They have, obviously, they're perfect so far, but they just lost their starting quarterback. Nothing against whoever's backing up Trevor Harris or whoever they're bringing in that building. But the truth is, that person will not have had played these games to bring this team to the perfect record that they have. You look at the Montreal Alouettes, DB, and it's hard for me to say this, having competed with them against them over the last few years, but it's hard to find a weakness on this team. I mean, they play defensively. We know that right now they are the standard. I mean, I don't know if the offensive coordinator has figured out how to beat this Noel Thorpe defense as he sprinkles in blitzes and, you know, sometimes it looks like it's a blitz. They're dropping guys. It is difficult to predict exactly what you're going to get from that defense, and it's hard to beat them. Defensively speaking, they are one of the best, if not the best defense in the CFL right now. Offensively speaking, that is what we've been talking about. At least I have all offseason. I've been saying, and really all throughout last year, one of their weaknesses was the fact that they weren't really aggressive offensively. You didn't really fear them offensively speaking. But now you got a Cody Fajardo, a confident Cody Fajardo, who is slinging it. Tyson Philpott, Keon Julian Grant, a whole offense that it looks complete and really seems like, how do you stop them? And a special teams to complement everything as well. And so to answer your question, it is likely going to be the Montreal Alouettes to continue to be the last undefeated team in the CFL this year.
It's hard not to see. I mean, they have 12 straight wins dating back to the run they went on last year to end the regular season.
So hard to believe.
Ran through the playoffs, as you well know. It's going to be difficult for the Riders. They need to be thankful they got these three wins in the bank, because it's going to be tough moving forward with Trevor Harris on the six-game injured list with the MCL injury. That backup that you speak of, we expect to be Shea Patterson. Was a third stringer last year. Beat out Mason Fine in camp this year. He's completed 8 of 16 passes in his CFL career. Trevor Harris is attempting 16 passes a quarter. So the drop-off in terms of, one, how we expect them to play, but two, the level of play, assuming someone isn't brought in, is going to be quite big. So we'll be watching the waiver wire, if you will, this week to see if there's a trade, to see if there is a free agent brought in, if someone's picked up off of a practice roster. But, you know, I'll get into my worries for them when we break down this week's game, but it's not just you lose the player and the aptitude of that player. Stylistically, the way they want to play doesn't necessarily lend itself, in my estimation, to a quarterback learning the ropes. So they may have to change some things. You know, you have your off season, you got your camp, you started your season, and then can you revert and switch your offense mid-season just to get by, and then switch it back to be at a level that you need to be to win a Grey Cup and make it deeper in the playoffs? We shall see. We also shall see Ottawa getting off to a nice start. They get their first home win versus East Division team since 2018, which is wild. But we shall see what producer Nick has for us in terms of CFL trivia. I hope that Ottawa stat was one of the trivia questions. You can just cross it off his little notepad. What do you got for us?
A little notepad.
Let's hear it.
All right. So this is for bragging rights, obviously. We got 5 questions here. You guys both have your little white cards.
All right.
So if you guys want to write 1 to 5 for your, so you have room for answers for each, and then leave a little bit of space at the bottom just in case there is a tiebreaker. You guys ready?
Yep.
Sir.
All right. First question. There have been 16 games so far this season. How many have been decided in the last 3 minutes? Closest guess wins.
All right. Closest or closest without going over?
Closest.
Ooh.
16 games. How many have been decided in the last
three minutes? Yeah. Write down your answers and lock it in. So question 2. How many passing touchdowns of 20 plus yards have there been in the CFL so far this season? This is a multiple choice. A, 15. B, 21. C, 26. D, 30. Question 3. Which player is leading the league in receiving right now? This is also multiple choice. A, Sean Bain Jr. B, Alexander Hollins. C, Tyson Philpott. Or D, Dylan Mitchell. Question 4. Which team is currently the highest scoring team in the league by points per game? And this you have to guess, obviously.
That was multiple choice, yeah. Too.
Multiple choice. No, can you give us 9 multiple choices?
highest team in the league.
Points per game.
Points per game. I got 2.
You got to only choose 1, Doc.
I know.
All right. I doubt it'll be the obvious one, right?
What's the obvious one?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, not that. Last question. There are 6 CFL players with 3 or more receiving touchdowns so far this season. How many of these players are Canadian? Question 1 was, there have been 16 games so far this season. How many have been decided in the last 3 minutes? What did you guys say?
I said 12.
9.
The answer was 12.
Come on! Come on!
I will give you that.
Question 2 was, how many passing touchdowns of 20 plus yards have there been in the CFL so far this season? A was 15, B was 21, C 26, D 30. What was your guys' answers?
D
30.
21.
Answer was 30. Was D.
Come on.
All right. Question 3 was, which player is leading the league in receiving right now? The choices were Sean Bain Jr., Alexander Hollins, Tyson Philpott, or Dylan Mitchell. What'd you guys put?
But C.
Hollins.
Philpott.
The answer was Hollins.
Damn.
So Enoch's back on the board.
I knew that was a trick question because it was so obvious Philpott was. But I'm like, he did have a good game this week.
Question 4 was, which team is currently the highest scoring team in the league by points per game? What was your guys' answers?
Montreal.
I went with the BC Lions.
That was my other thought.
Ooh.
You guys are both wrong. It's Sask. Ooh. 32.7 points per game.
Trevor Harris.
Montreal has the most total points scored right now, but they're second in points per game with 31.8. Last question. This is to tie for you, or DB, this is for you to win. There are 6 CFL players with 3 or more receiving touchdowns so far this season. How many of these players are Canadian?
4.
3.
The answer is 3.
Damn!
Tiebreaker.
The answer is 3.
Damn.
So, the tiebreaker.
Stretch.
The tiebreaker is, you guys have space on the bottom of your card, right?
Yeah. We do.
Name the 3 players. Whoever can name more than wins.
Golly.
3 Canadians with, what was it?
3 or more receiving touchdowns so far.
3 or more. Damn.
I just can't think of his name.
What team?
BC.
I don't know if I can help you there.
Wait, you don't, because you don't want to, or because you
don't want to?
I'm just going to say BC wide receiver. That's great.
That doesn't count.
Oh my god.
Breeze and Nick, you gotta help me out on that one, man.
Can I give you a name?
You gotta know the answer.
Yeah.
I mean, I see his face.
Draw it then.
I don't know if I can. I'm gonna say.
Could give me three names from BC that are Canadians. How about that?
Nah, come what are we doing? You can't give him the name. The whole point is you gotta know who the receivers are.
That's crazy.
That is true, man. Enoch chose Tyson Philpott, Curley Gittens Jr., and Nick Dembski.
Wow, that one's wrong.
Which is third?
I got Philpott, McInnis, and Gittens Jr.
McInnis and who?
Curley Gittens Jr.
What's McInnis' first name?
I don't know. Well, his mother. Oh. Wait, we have to go first and last names?
I mean. Go ahead, Nick.
You guys are tied.
So wait, what did you say? Hold on. What did you say?
You guys both
McInnis,
have
Philpott and
Curley Gittens Jr. Mm.
You guys are tied. You guys both have Philpott right.
Yeah, that's it.
Wrong.
Okay.
So Philpott has four.
Okay.
Hergie Mayala, three.
Julian Grant.
What?
Keandre Smith with three.
Oh, snap. Good for Keandre.
All right. Well, I guess it's a tie because I don't have another tie to take your question. I didn't expect you guys to write the same answers. Good game, fellas. You guys.
Well, tied.
You guys got tied.
Enoch, there's nothing bigger in this league than playing for a Grey Cup.
Nothing bigger. Feeling the energy on the field before the game, jets flying over the stadium, battling with guys you fought for week in and week out, and then the rush when the clock hits zero and you get to win. Confetti flying in the air, celebrating with your team. It's a moment that can't be matched.
Well, I'm here to tell all the fans, you don't need to strap on a helmet to get that feeling. The CFL Premium Experience Program offers you unprecedented access to Grey Cup weekend in Vancouver with once-in-a-lifetime on-field experiences for pregame, right at the stage for the halftime show, and post-game celebrations, as well as premium seats to the game, VIP Grey Cup festival events, private locker room tours, and more. Space is extremely limited for this incredible opportunity, so head to cfl.ca/premium to secure your spots today.
All right, after that trivia debacle, we get back to the real thing. Old Dutch, pick 'em. The standings update. I mean, I don't really want to brag. Nick, do you want to do the standings update?
You
I
do want to brag. Go ahead and do it. I mean, go ahead and
they
brag.
Already know. They already know what it is.
Go ahead and brag. They really don't know,
though. We don't have to update it. Up by six, up by five, up by five. Doesn't matter. Nick, let us know. I don't even know.
Okay,
how did I do last week?
Donovan is up with 12 correct picks. And
who,
four.
Me?
Yeah.
12. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Enoch is 6.
I don't want to brag. I don't want to brag. Who, me?
Was that the same person that said that? Was that really the same person? I'm going to pull the Mario Balotelli. Just lift up the shirt where it says it must be me. All right. So where are we at? I'm up 6?
Yep.
All right. Up 6. So how many weeks until Enoch's mathematically eliminated? How much time?
We got way too much time.
Yeah, way too much time.
Should we do a crossover? Bring someone from the West?
81 total games in the regular season, Donovan. 81 of them.
All right.
And you are at 12.
I think the issue is that I'm 6 up.
You're 6 up. That's fine. We got time.
I not to get in your head, but you have the same predicament. And I'll pick my picks first.
I'll say this too. How many games have been decided by a field goal? That's
fair. It's not how. It's how many.
That's fine.
That's not how many.
It's almost as though he just flipped the coin and got the answer. At the end what it comes down to. But I digress.
I was in Vegas. Evidently, I need to go back because
you might need to. You might need
12 and 4. What's wrong with your coin? Where you going 6 to 10?
Calling the wrong one. I've been going tails. I'm going heads this week.
Well, listen, you had two picks different than me last week, and you went 2-2, and I went 4-4. So you were in the very same predicament. I'll pick first. No Fear is my favorite brand from the 90s. I will pick first, and then you have the choice. Do you match? And at best, you are still behind, or do you go different and run the risk of falling either even farther behind?
My picks
I could go 0-4 this week, and you go 4-0. And guess what? We're going to come back in here, and I'll still be in the lead.
That's right. That's right. And that's fine.
Okay.
But I'm always going to pick what I think is best.
You know the tortoise.
Not what Donovan picks.
You know the tortoise and the hare is just a story, right? Like, that's not real life?
That's fine.
Okay. Baby. All right. All right. Speaking of fine, maybe we'll see Mason Fine playing Toronto at Saskatchewan, Thursday, July 4th, 9 p.m. Eastern. We talked about it. Trevor Harris on the sixth game. Shea Patterson, only QB with any sort of CFL experience as of recording this. That might change. And, you know, originally I thought this Saskatchewan team, they're grinders. They fight. They found ways to win some of those games that, quite frankly, they shouldn't have won. I don't think that's going to happen here. Because to me, the issue is they're going to be one-dimensional. They're the second worst running attack in the league, which is fine when you have Trevor Harris, who can convert when he needs to from long situations, will take the cheese, if you will, and keep you on schedule offensively and take the checkdowns. I just think having a week to prepare against a team that's not going to want to throw it 40 times like they normally do, with a running game that hasn't got out of the blocks yet, I think that Toronto defense is too talented. And I'm worried about Saskatchewan in general. This is their schedule. We talk about the Argos, which I have, if you haven't noticed, as an L this week. You go BC Lions, the other team that's been outstanding in the West thus far. Winnipeg, which has not been good, but they've still been a standard for a while, and they're desperate for W's. And then the defending Grey Cup champion, Montreal Alouettes. I think it's going to be tough for BC. I think it's going to be tough for Saskatchewan over the next month or so, and I think it starts with an L this week. Who you got?
Ooh. So you're going with Toronto?
Correct.
I'm going to go with the opposite.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Okay. Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Sweet.
The reason being, you're walking into this game as Toronto Argonauts against a team that you don't know who's going to be at quarterback. You don't have enough information. You don't have enough film on Patterson, if it is going to be indeed Patterson.
Do you care?
At quarterback.
Do you care?
Yes, you do. I promise you. Guess what, DB? You know what the defensive coordinators, Kevin Iben, in Toronto right now is doing? Whenever you go into a situation where you're playing a quarterback that you haven't seen much film on, you go back to the earliest film that you can find, whether it's with a different team or you even go back to college. Yes, you do care. You want to know something, which they definitely do care. And so the lack of information, in my opinion, is going to affect this game. And also, you got a head coach in Saskatchewan who's been in that building here at BMO in Toronto. And he has a good understanding of what the offensive scheme is like and the quarterback and the players on offense. And for that reason, I think Saskatchewan pulls this off.
I mean, I think Ryan Dinwiddie has a good understanding of what he wants to do defensively. And if I'm in that Argos defensive meeting room, I'm bumping French Montana. We ain't got no worries. Mm. I think it's about us, not about the opposing QB. And it might not be their starter, but I think they approach the game the same. A team that needs to approach a game with some desperation is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They are hosting on Friday, 8:30 p.m., Eastern. Ottawa coming off a big win against Hamilton, a team that they struggled against. Can they do the same against Winnipeg? Zach Kolaris wasn't unable to finish the game in the week 4 loss to Calgary. Does he play? Does Strevler get time? We saw Strevler make a pass for the first time in relief duty this past week. I'm here to tell you, I don't think it matters. Because, listen, I was bullish about the Riders, and I got off that. And I was bullish against the Blue Bombers, and now I'm off that as well. Zach Kolaris has zero passing TDs in 4 games. The only passing TD this team has is Chris Streveler in garbage time last week. You're talking about a team that already has 4 losses, which is the first time they've gone 0-4 since 2012. Last year, they were 14-4. In 2022, they were 15-3. 2021 shortened season, 11-3. They're not used to losing this much, period. Never mind this much early. I wonder if things start to get a little bit anxious in Winnipeg. And I think Ottawa is on a wave. I like the Red Blacks in this one.
You're not wrong about that at all. And there is a representation that is seen or heard, however you found out about this. But I don't know if you heard about the interview that Brady Oliveira gave last week before this past game that they had. And he was just talking about how he doesn't touch the ball enough on offense. And if he does touch the ball, there might be a different outcome. Whether he's right or wrong, in my opinion, he's talking to the front office. He's talking to the coaching staff, not any of his teammates. He's talking to the coaches. And that is a representation of the, I don't want to say toxicity, but the craziness that's happening in Winnipeg right now. Because you talk about they don't know how to lose. Yes, they haven't done that in a while. They don't know how to handle the situation that they're in right now, to the point where you got a good guy, Brady Oliveira, I say animals, in offseason, comes out and speaks out the way that he did. And for that very reason, I'm going to give it to the Ottawa Red Blacks as well. And also, I like the fact that these guys, you talk about grinders, this is this team right here. Drew Brown, he's not necessarily where you would think that a winning or starting quarterback is supposed to be at, but I like what I've seen. I've seen enough from him to understand the type of player that he is right now, but the road is looking really, really, really nice ahead for them. And I love Devonta Dedmon over there because he gives that team a lot of hope.
You asked the question, is Brady Oliveira right? I think he is right. Talk about him saving animals. He's a caged animal right now. When this team was winning Grey Cups, they were a run-first team. And Zach Kolaris was making big plays down the field off of the play action. Essentially, all they said was, listen, we need you to buy us some time at points, connect on those big plays. That was the difference from taking them to a good team to a great team. Every game, there's 3, 4, 5 big shots you get down the field. We need to connect on 2 or 3, and he was great at doing that. But the table was set from the run game. And I think with the talent that Zach has and the talent they have at the receiver position over the years, they've got away from that. Now you got a couple receivers down. So I think when you're doing an appraisal of your team, you look at your strength. Your starting quarterback's not playing well. Your offensive line is still strong. Not as strong as it was in the past, but still strong. And well, would you give this man all that money for if you weren't going to use him?
Fair enough.
So I actually think that he's right. And I think they need to get back to the basics. And quite frankly, keep that defense on the field that isn't as young as it used to be. Play complementary football. So I think they will get back to that at some point. I just don't think it happens this week against Ottawa. But I, if they want to win this week, I think that's the best recipe for success. Calgary at Montreal. No one has had a recipe for success against the Alouettes. That game goes down Saturday, July 6th at 7 p.m. Eastern. I'll keep this one tight. Battle of the Philpott Brothers. Listen, I said I was on Montreal until someone moved me off that spot. They proved me wrong. I doubted them multiple times. And you're not going to catch me doubting them again until they give me a reason. The pick is Montreal. You can just fill this sheet in for the next couple weeks. Montreal, Montreal, Montreal. Who you got?
I'm going Montreal. I talked about it at the top of the show. These guys don't look like they have any weaknesses. I talked to a couple of guys in that locker room right already. They have so much confidence, and it's just amazing to see the stretch of wins that they've accumulated since last year to where they are right now. I love everything that's coming out of Montreal. And on the other side in Calgary, I'm looking at a team that's improving. I don't know if I love the pace at which they're improving, but they are improving. I would love to see all of the weapons being used to their maximum of potential. I'm looking at Begelton, who's a star, who's proven, but you don't hear enough about. Mark and Michelle, same thing. I want to see that progression. And it comes down to Jake Mayer I think he has a few more areas to grow in. He's not necessarily there yet. He's got the weapons, but it's going to take a little bit more time. The Montreal Alouettes are not going to allow you to take this win if you're not fully prepared and ready.
Last one of the week, BC at Hamilton, Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern. This one, to me, I think, one, is going to be the game of the week for a couple of reasons. It was a great game last year when BC went to Hamilton. It ended in a game-winning field goal. Dane Evans coming in for an injured Vern Adams Jr. We saw these teams, speaking of walk-off field goals, the way it was last year when the Lions won 33-30. We saw these teams on the opposite end of walk-off field goals this past week. BC was outplayed for most of the ball game, but found a way to win. Hamilton was the better team, in my estimation, for the majority of the ball game, but found a way to lose. They come together. But I think it's also fascinating for a couple of reasons. One, when we start at BC, you know what the locker room's like. You know what the league's like. They've been knocking at the door for a while. Seems like Winnipeg is vulnerable. Saskatchewan making a charge for the top of the West. But oh, their starting QB is down. Mm. They're vulnerable. We can maybe extend some room between us and everybody else in our quest for one, home field advantage in the West Final to get to a home Grey Cup. So you know what those locker rooms are like when guys start to you know, sense some blood in the water. And so I expect a focused BC team. In Hamilton, guys might sense that I might be on the next Flair Airlines flight out if I'm not careful, because they start 0-4 again. We talked about last week, year after year after year, them starting the first month of the season terrible. Let's talk about the next month of the season. This is what they get. BC, obviously a very good team. Toronto, a very good team. They got both of those at home. They go to Edmonton. It could be a battle of teams yet to win a game. Then they have a home and home with the Alouettes. The schedule gets scary, so they need to figure it out quickly, or else we're going to be talking about new people on this team when it comes to Labor Day.
Absolutely. So, did you make a pick?
Oh, yeah. No, listen, those are the realities, but BC's the better team. All right. So, I'll be going with BC. I'm just telling you about the motivations in these locker rooms. I ain't no fool. I'm picking the BC Lions.
I agree. I mean, it's tough to go against BC. I mean, they got the confidence, they got the focus, they got the swag. And a great leader in Vernon Adams Jr. I mean, I've been his teammate. I've seen his growth. And now getting to watch him, I'm a big fan, especially knowing exactly where he came from, the type of player and man he was. To see the growth that he's been able to experience over the years is absolutely magnificent. It's hard to bet against the BC Lions, even though they are taking that long dreaded trip that I always talk about when a Western team or an Eastern team goes on the other coast. I think it's going to be a close one because you still have, you know, Bo Levi Mitchell, who I have not at all lost perspective of the talent and the level of career he's had. So
he hasn't, I think, been the issue this year.
He hasn't. Exactly why. I think he always gives him a chance.
Can he play defensive secondary?
That's the issue. But you have Bo Levi Mitchell. That's the reason why I think that it'll still be close. But again, he's been good all season long, but good has not been good enough. And so I don't think that this week in particular, having the BC Lions come to town, is going to be the week. And the one thing that I think that the Hamilton Tigers need to address is going to be that offensive line. You look at Bo Levi Mitchell, we talk about how good he's been this whole season. I mean, throwing in upwards of 300 yards most games that he's played thus far. Half of the time I see him running out of the pocket. I mean, this is a veteran, older guy. And one is credit to him because of the level of preparedness that he's brought himself to be able to escape the pocket and run out, and which has never really been his game. He's been in Calgary for a long time, and he stood in the pocket with a great offensive line and finds his receiver and picks off, actually breaks down every defense that comes against him. That's not the case this year. He has had to run out of the pocket. He's had to rush his throws and not step into throws, and not to mention the struggles, the early struggles that Tim White has had. And so, one, Tim White is getting back on track, it seems, Bo Levi Mitchell is there. If they can address that offensive line, get the running game going, we're not exactly certain about James Butler's status just yet. That offensive line is going to be the key for the success of the Hamilton Tiger-Cats.
No question. We only have one pick that's different. Mm. So you will be watching Argos Riders with bated breath to see if you could inch closer to my unsurmountable lead. I love, though, that you're trying to walk before you run. And, like, let me just get to 500. Let me just draft off of Donovan's picks just to get me back above water to a respectable record. And then I'll see where I am and see if I can make a push. I think it's smart. It's like in auto racing when someone has the car just behind, just you know, making sure to keep pace. I rate it and I respect it.
I'll say it again. I do not make picks off of what Donovan Bennett
picks. Well, we can tell. We know.
I make my picks off of what I see.
I think that's the issue, because you see me at the top of the stage.
And I will reiterate, field goals have decided many a games this season. They could have gone either way. You should go back to Vegas, like you said.
You want to do picks against the spread? You want to change up the rules? I thought we were picking winners.
We're picking winners. That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay, just making sure.
But my point is still that it's not about lack of vision or the ability to see, but they've been close games, which is a good thing in this league.
I just can't wait to hear the stories of you coming back in the locker room as a player and be like, guys, I mean, we lost, but it was a close game.
Oh, no.
We waited till the end to lose, but we lost.
Not at all. This is a completely different perspective. Looking at a game, I'm not in that locker room. I can talk about it like this. I really can. And I enjoy it, DB. I do. I really do.
I want winners. Okay? And that's what I give you. So the Edmonton Elks are on a bye week, and although they're not in this picks discussion, we will have a discussion about them. It's a positive that they're on a bye week because they can't lose a game this week and that they can get things together. But listen, I'm looking for positives. I'm looking for the pros, not the cons.
Why are you hitting them when they're down, DB?
It is a fact. They can't lose this week, which will make this week better than the last four. But it might not be better for everybody, because based on how the last four went, some people might not be in that locker room when we are talking about them and predicting their game next week. Here's where I am at with Edmonton, because this is the second straight season they didn't win a game in their first four, like Hamilton. The difference is last year, they didn't win a game until week 11. So this is a movie that we've seen. People aren't going to the ballpark. They're invested in the Oilers, and now they're invested into the Edmonton Stingers. Shout out to the CEBL team that has been outstanding in the West. But they're not flocking to Commonwealth the way they would in the past to see this team. And I don't know if I can blame them, because they're not giving you victories, but they are giving you effort. They've lost the last three games by 3 points each. It's about critical mistakes. Some of them coming from your boy, McLeod Bethel-Thompson, who was supposed to be the veteran in the room and has thrown four interceptions. Where do the Elks go from here? And is it to the phone to bring in some new faces? Because we know Chris Jones is not shy, but I think this conversation is about Chris Jones. Because last year I felt Chris Jones, the GM, didn't help out Chris Jones, the coach. Mm. They gave Taylor Cornelius money that I thought he didn't really earn, put all their eggs in that basket. Then it was musical chairs in terms of who's playing quarterback, who wasn't, who was dressing, who was not dressing. Are we moving our quarterbacks to receiver, special teams, short yardage? There seemed to be no plan until they changed play callers and changed quarterbacks. This year, I feel like they had a great offseason. They brought in veterans. They brought in contributors on other teams. I feel like Chris Jones, the head coach, is letting down Chris Jones, the GM, because ultimately when the issues are discipline issues, either in the way you play without discipline or discipline in terms of lack of it getting penalties, we could blame the individuals, but that's the coach. You're either coaching it and you're allowing it. And Chris Jones, he's all about having a disciplined football team, and they are not. So what do you do if you're in Edmonton?
No, absolutely. And I think you're totally right. You're bang on. You're talking about the discipline in the locker room. That's been the major issue. And you talk about the losses that they've had this year. Saskatchewan, close game. Montreal, right now, arguably, actually, I'll take the argument out, the best team in the CFL right now. Close game by 3 points. Toronto Argonauts, close game. Edmonton played the BC Lions, close game.
All good teams.
All good teams. So you look at that, you think about the fact that they've been really, they've been showing up in games, playing the best teams in the league in the first stretch of the season. So that's tough when you look at the luck of the draw with regards to the scheduling. But you look at the mistakes that have been happening throughout the season so far for them. It's been just small things, tiny things. I remember you talk about McLeod throw that he had at the end of the game for an opportunity for a first down to Curley. He said, Enoch, I should have had him. Yes, he missed a couple. And those kind of things could happen. Those kind of things do happen. But I'm talking about the small mistakes and penalties, slapping a guy on the head, running into the kicker in a late deciding game. Those little things have all to do, like you talked about the coaching, about the culture. And if anything, when I'm looking at this team, I'm looking at the coaching staff, there needs to be things that need to be done differently with regards to how they approach the week. And the other thing has to be the locker room, because we can talk as much as we want about the coaching staff, but there needs to be leaders in that locker room that keep everybody accountable. And I think that that's one of the things that they need to really develop and define in that room. It's hard to do that if you haven't won in the past. And so if you look at that team, that's been one of the issues. They're working through it. They're working towards it. But that has been one of the issues. That's the best thing that you can take away from this team thus far, especially leading into this bye week, has been the fact that they have played the best teams. They've given them their best shot, and it has been close. Again, decided by a field goal for most of the games. That only means that the rest of their games, they can only really improve, obviously, from here. But they have a shot at being a really good team. Now, the changes that need to happen inside the locker room are more structural, from my opinion. You talk about who's going to come in, who's going to leave. I think Chris Jones, the GM, has done enough of that. And he's known for doing that, but I don't think that that is going to be the solution. That sometimes you need to go through adversity. You need to overcome that adversity with the same guys that you went through the pit with. And so if we come back next week through a week where, like you mentioned, they cannot lose, and they come out and they talk about how many guys they've brought in or how many guys they've let go, in my opinion, that is going to be a loss on a bye week.
Chris Jones in trouble?
Chris Jones is in trouble. For sure, he's in the hot seat. But again, I think coming out of this bye week is going to tell a lot to the people that make decisions above Chris Jones. So the next couple of weeks, when they come back from the bye week, they got Ottawa back-to-back and then Hamilton. Those three games, I think, we'll determine if we haven't already seen something happen with Chris Jones.
It's wild to think Chris Jones could be in trouble, because them getting Chris Jones coming back to the CFL period was seen as a coup. It was seen as a great circumstance that came together. But the people making the decision as to whether or not Chris Jones is doing a good job have changed to a certain extent. Chris Jones is compensated quite well. And at the end of the day, you are running a for-profit business, and it is difficult to continue to market to your customers, come and see this product that has not been good enough for a long time, but we're not going to change anything. At some point, you have to give me some hope. Change the story. Change the narrative. So it might not be fair. It might not be right, but there is no such thing in football. There's just results, and the results have not been good enough. If given the grace of a bye week, the results don't get better, there has to be some changes. You can't just run things back over and over again. So I'm expecting a Grey Cup level of intensity when this team gets back from the bye week, because if not, a lot of people are going to be saying bye.
I mean, you hit it on the nail. And the level of urgency that needs to come to that locker room is absolutely through the roof. But again, we talk about the history from this team, the last couple of years. And then you look at the roster. You go through the roster, and I'm looking at the defense especially. You'll see a lot of second-year guys, third-year guys. And Purifoy is the only probably guy that I see on defense there that has played for a long amount of time in the CFL and has seen different coaching staff, different cultures, different buildings. But a lot of the guys in there on that defense in particular have been in that same building with no real example of what it takes to take it to the next level. So it comes down to the veterans. It comes down to the leadership in that locker room to really rally the group and turn things around. But in my opinion, again, too many changes is not going to be the answer in that locker room.
And some people will be listening to this and say, hey, you're being a little harsh. Winnipeg has yet to win a game. Hamilton has yet to win a game. And that's true. We're talking about apples and oranges for a couple reasons. One, the people making the decisions in Winnipeg can bring you to a trophy case and show you that recently they have stacked Western Division titles and or Grey Cups. That's one. Hamilton, the people who are running that can bring you to their contract and tell you that they just signed it. Mm-hmm. So they deserve some time.
It's a different case.
The other thing that both can do is point to the stands and show bums in seats. And so I think the amount of time that this regime has had in Edmonton, coupled with the fact that the fan base is becoming aggrieved, if you will, and are very frustrated. And the next step from frustration is apathy, which you don't want. I think that is why this scenario is not just a run-of-the-mill slow start in the CFL. It is a continuation of what has been football not at the standard for the City of Champions.
Listen, as I say on TikTok, the pressure is getting worser. And pressure is either going to burst pipes or make diamonds. And we're going to find out right after this bye week for the Edmonton Elks.
They say that on TikTok?
They do.
I'm not on TikTok.
Come on, man. Showing your age, DB.
Listen, we gave you a real fun pod. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening. We're going to come back every week, bring you all the CFL discussion you need. In the case of one of us, the picks that you need as well. I'm Donovan Bennett. He is Enoch Mwamba. You can find him at @he_whoknocks. I might change my handle to @he_whopicks. Subscribe on YouTube for podcast clips. Listen, wherever, Spotify, Apple, share with your friends. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon.